Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, the 15th of September, 2011. Okay, I was wrong. I said yesterday would be the last day of the monsoon. And if you've taken a look at those clouds building, looks like we've got another day of summer thunderstorms in the Tucson area. We'll take the rain. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, AM 1030. KVOI is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. Also, a big shout out to our simulcast partners, our friends in Globe and Gila County. They listen to the Buckmaster Show on AM 1240 KJAA. Our friends in Douglas and Cochise County, Sierra Vista, Santa Cruz County, listening to Buckmaster on KAPR AM 930. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web on our fine website, buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show there, and we archive some of the previous programs, at least 2 weeks or so worth of those programs of the back 2 weeks, plus the Buckmaster Show, can be heard anytime at TucsonSentinel.com. Our friend Dylan Smith, the publisher there, carries the Buckmaster Show on the Tucson Sentinel, Southern Arizona's online news service. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. We have a lead-off interview today with the new dean of the Eller College of Management at the University of Arizona. We'll be talking business at 20 minutes past the hour. What in the world was that mysterious light in the sky that everybody seems to be talking about? We'll talk with Comet Discoverer and Buckmaster Show contributor on astronomy, Dr. David Levy. Bottom of the hour, we sit down with our Buckmaster Show contributor on consumer affairs, Tom Collier. He'll be warning us about email harvesting. Some big red flag cautions there. Then we close out the show with a conversation with the Weintraub Israel Center Director at the Tucson Jewish Community Center, Guy Gelbert. Lots of big issues and challenges facing Israel. The Buckmaster Show is an interview-driven talk show, but there's always room for you. If you want to join the conversation at any time during the hour, call Buckmaster Show at the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 or toll-free from anywhere in North America, 866-725-5467. You can email your questions as well at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And if you have a story idea or a particular guest you want us to interview, we encourage you to contact us. Before we start talking business with the Dean of the Eller College of Business, I want to remind you that KVOI is sponsoring a Tucson Needs Business Rally. This is free and open to everyone. 5:30 p.m. Wednesday, September 28th at the Marriott University Park Hotel over by the university. It's easy to register. It's free. Admission is limited, so go to the KVOI.com website, and we will see you at that Tucson Needs Business Rally being sponsored by KVOI. And now let's talk business with Len Jessup. He's a man on a mission. The mission is to spread the word about the Eller College of Management at the University of Arizona, where he has been dean since May. Since his appointment, he spends a good deal of his time on the road with meeting Eller College alums. Dr. Jessup received his doctorate in organizational behavior and management information systems from Eller in 1989. For the past 10 years, he's been up in Pullman, Washington, at Washington State University, where he was dean of the College of Business and director of the Center for Entrepreneurial Studies. Len Jessup joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Dr. Jessup, thanks for being with us. Where are you right now? You're on the road again, I guess.
Bill, that's right. I'm actually out in Southern California, and this week we're kind of focusing on Orange County. So I'm here at the moment at a Marriott hotel in between meetings in Orange County.
What are the alums telling you about the Eller College of Business?
Well, we're hearing a lot of pride and a lot of passion for Eller from our alums that we've been meeting with all around the country, not only here in Southern California, but boy, we've been everywhere. We've been in San Francisco and Seattle and Denver and Phoenix and Tucson, and we're on our way to Chicago and New York and other places around the country. And they're telling us that they're proud to be an alum of Eller, and they're very excited about us moving Eller forward. It's good for all of us. It's, in a sense, they own a piece of stock in the Eller College and in the University of Arizona, as I do as an alum. And so they have a vested interest in how things move forward.
Len, I want to get your input. You heard me promoting this event that we are sponsoring here at KVOI about Tucson Needs Business. How do we get business for Tucson, Arizona? What's your take on that?
Well, I think there are a number of things that we need to do that I think we're already doing. We just need to do more of it. And I think that Tucson and the University of Arizona, in particular the Eller College and the McGuire Center for Entrepreneurship within it, are a great factory of innovation, and I think more important, a factory potentially of innovation and commercialization. And I'd like to see Tucson and the University of Arizona work together, with the Eller College as a catalyst in growing our own business. I mean, I think that's the way that not only does Tucson grow and develop in interesting ways, but I think it then makes it a place that's attractive for other larger existing businesses to locate. They just decide that they need to have a footprint here, giving all the interesting things that are going on. So I think it's kind of growing it. We need to grow it from within.
I know it's very important for business schools, these rankings that come out, and I know you would like to get Eller into the top 10. Where is Eller now, depending on which of these business rankings you look at?
We generally do pretty good in these rankings. You know, we for a long time have had programs like Entrepreneurship and MIS that rank well within the top 10, and then other units around the Eller College of Management that rank within the top 25. And a good example of that is just, this week, the U.S. News rankings just came out a day or two ago, and they had the MIS program, in fact, at number 3 overall, public and private, and the Entrepreneurship program well up in the top 10. And we had our management department pop up into the top 10 as well. So we think we have pretty good quality kind of across the board, with some things kind of up in the top 10, that upper echelon, and then a number of things we do kind of top 25. And our mission is to have everything that we do be operating at that level of impact and quality and rankings and reach as the top 10 business schools around the country. That's clearly where we want to get to. And that's the fun part. I don't think that's actually that difficult to do. The trick is that we know that we need to pay for it ourselves. We need to be a self-sustaining business school like the best business schools in the country are.
Dr. Len Jessup is with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. He is in Southern California. He's the new dean of the Eller College of Management at the University of Arizona. He's been spending a lot of time on the road, hitting different cities, meeting with Eller College alums. Now, getting back to funding, it's no secret to anybody who follows the news here. The state has continued to slash funding to Arizona's three public universities. How does Eller then become a self-sustaining business school, and how much revenue are you getting now from the state?
That's a good question. So if you look at last year, as just an example, in the Eller College of Management, last year as an operation, as a business, if you want to think of it that way, the Eller College of Management brought in all sources of funding of roughly $50 million. So that kind of includes revenue coming in from all sources. And if you think about what chunks of that were the people inside McClellan Hall each day, what chunk of that $50 million were they responsible for? Everybody that's in that building, the students and the tuition they pay, the faculty and the grants and contracts they're bringing in, the revenue-generating programs like the Executive MBA, private giving, philanthropy, the payout from the endowment, all those things all considered, how much of that were the people in the building day after day in McClellan Hall responsible for? Last year, out of that $50 million, it was roughly three-quarters of that, all those sources of funding that people in that building were responsible for bringing with them into the building. And so we're about three-quarters self-sustaining, and only about 25% of that was the supplemental part of our budget from the state of Arizona. So we're actually pretty close to being self-sustaining now, and we have programs like the McGuire Center for Entrepreneurship that are virtually 100% self-sustaining. So we're not that far away.
So you think that's possible within a few years, perhaps?
I think it definitely is. We've mapped out now kind of a 5-year operating plan for us that kind of looks at all those sources of funding and makes the assumption that state funding will continue to dwindle. And, we think about which of those levers can we pull down hard in order to be not only grow and become better and kind of achieve our mission to become top 10, but to pay for it ourselves. And we think we can do it.
And executive education, I know, is a big part of what you do, and I think it could be a real help and is a help to many of the businesses here in Tucson. The expertise there at Eller is available right here in Tucson, and I think some of our local businesses, I know they do take advantage of it, and you'd like more of them to take advantage of it.
Absolutely, and we've got a two-part strategy on that. We offer now an executive MBA, so that's an MBA program for sitting executives, and we do that up in Scottsdale. We make it available to the 4 million people in the Phoenix metropolitan area, and we think that's a good place to deliver that program. But then in terms of just pure executive ed, so that's a, that, this is an offering that's not necessarily for a degree and not necessarily for credit, just highly specific, customized programs on, you know, on topics that executives need to know now, and they just need like a week's worth on the topic or maybe 2 weeks. That's the kind of executive education that, that we want to build out in Tucson in the winter months. We think that the Eller brand is good enough, the U of A brand is good enough, and we think Tucson is attractive enough that we can build that kind of programming throughout the winter months based in Tucson. And so we're already working very hard on doing that.
As you've been out on the road, Len Jessup, have you felt consumer confidence really lagging, or what kind of sense are you getting about we're hearing that consumers really are very worried about this economy?
You know, it's interesting. I'm meeting with a lot of our alum who are not only business owners, but in a sense, they're consumers as well. And I'm sort of feeling a lot of confidence that actually, I mean, it's quite surprising and refreshing. It's different from what you hear on the news at night. You know,
that's right. Day after day, we're hearing, you know, about the market going this way or that way. But it's interesting to hear you say that these people who are, in many cases, big-time decision-makers who you are talking with do feel that we perhaps are on the way back with this economy.
They do, and I think they're just waiting. You know what I mean? Their businesses are doing well. Things are picking up. I'm talking to people even in sectors where you wouldn't expect it in real estate. I just met with a couple of commercial real estate developers, for example, in Los Angeles last week, who are alum and manage pretty big projects, and they're at a pretty high occupancy rate. They're feeling pretty good about things. It's almost like they're waiting for the country, I think, from a political point of view, to kind of get its act together and kind of lead the way. They're ready. They feel confident about the pickup in business that they see, and I think they're just kind of waiting.
And the Tucson economy, I know we've only got a few seconds left. Len Jessup, you'd like to see this more of a Technopoly, is that the word for it?
Yeah, Technopolis. Yeah.
There, oh, there you go. Okay, tell me about that.
We've got one of the greatest research institutions in the world. You know, $600 million of externally funded research came into the U of A last year that ranked it 16th. If you look at the amount of funding that just went into the physical sciences, the hard sciences, we were ranked second. You know, we clearly have, right sitting in the middle of Tucson, one of the greatest innovation engines in the world. I think what we need to do now is to take advantage of that and kind of, you know, not only be a great innovation engine, but a great commercialization engine, spinning out companies that not only help Tucson, but help diversify the economy for the state of Arizona. The state needs us to do it.
Len Jessup, the new dean of the Eller College of Management at the University of Arizona, speaking with us from Southern California, where he's on the road showing the flag of the University of Arizona and the Eller College. Len Jessup, good luck to you as you begin your tenure there at the Eller College. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bill. You bet.
Len Jessup with us on the Buckmaster Show. About 18 minutes now past the hour on this Thursday on the Buckmaster Show. Let's talk with Dr. David Levy, our Buckmaster Show contributor on astronomy. That's coming up next, so stay with us.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org. CRA O'Hara Shutters and Sun Control is the leader in quality hardwood O'Hara brand shutters in southern Arizona. 100% customer recommended and satisfied. Sierra Shutters and Sun Control also has the highest quality blinds, shades, and state-of-the-art window tints that really make a difference in keeping your home cooler. Check out their extensive website at sierrasuncontrol.com or give them a call at 292-2212 for a free in-home estimate.
Biro Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Biro Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Biro Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at viroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
This is the Buckmaster Show. It's time to turn our attention to the sky with Dr. David Levy. Dr. Levy is the Buckmaster Show contributor on astronomy, the former science editor of Parade Magazine, and now head of and founder of Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. Dr. Levy is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. He has discovered 23 comets, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker-Levy 9, the comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994, producing the most spectacular explosions ever witnessed in the solar system. An Emmy Award-winning writer, Dr. Levy is the author or editor and or editor of 35 books and other products. David, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. All the better for being on your show today.
Thank you very much. And a lot of folks are talking about the mysterious lights that were observed in the Southwest. What do you think it was?
Well, from what I was able to read, I think it was a meteor. It was seen by Michael Terenzoni up at Kitt Peak, who works there, and he got a good look at it. And usually when people report strange lights in the sky, that's what they usually turn out to be, is a meteor.
And I think Michael is saying this is the best meteor, David, that he has ever seen. He was observing this by himself and another U of A astronomer,
yeah,
Paul Smith. They were on a 90-inch telescope that got,
yeah,
a great look at it, and they say it was fantastic.
Yeah, I know. That's that must have been a fantastic view to see. I didn't see it. I was, I think it was cloudy here at the time.
Yeah,
we had almost an inch of rain yesterday, Bill.
Did you really in,
yeah,
the in the Vail, Arizona,
yeah,
area?
It really came through.
Wow!
So I'm kind of glad that the summer storms are on their way out.
Yeah, and yesterday, David, I said at the beginning of the show, I predict this will be the last day of the summer thunderstorms, and it looks like today might be the last.
Yeah, I think today might be.
So looking to the sky, you know, summer's a difficult time for observing here in Tucson, but you're probably looking forward to when these clouds lift. What can we look for in the sky right now, the post-monsoon sky viewing?
Well, there are meteors, like the one that was seen the other night. There are there's no major shower right now, although there are a number of minor ones that are visible and dropping meteors into the atmosphere of the Earth that we might be able to see. On the morning of October 9th, we might get some meteors from the Draconid meteors shower, and that has occasionally been known to produce storms of meteors. Although this year is supposed to be a good year, the storm itself is supposed to take place over Europe and not over here.
Yeah, we can get a pretty good look at Jupiter these days, right?
Yeah, Jupiter rises earlier and earlier now. It's in the sky most of the night. Any telescope is a good one to look at Jupiter, and you can see Jupiter and his belts, his dark bands on the crossing his cloud tops, and his four bright moons. Io, Europa, Ganymede, and Callisto. And I think that now in these days, since we have been to Jupiter and we've seen interesting things happening from spacecraft going around Jupiter, it'll be nice to go outside and just take a look at it through a telescope.
What's this about a new spacecraft that may rendezvous with the space station?
Well, that's something. There's a couple of private companies are developing one. And the last time we spoke, I heard that they might actually attempt to meet the space station before the end of this year. But I haven't heard anything since then, so I'll believe it when I see it.
You know, I suppose NASA's future is as cloudy as our monsoon season has been the last couple days. What do you think about NASA? What direction should they be going, David?
Well, NASA has just come out with a beautiful design for a super heavy lift rocket. And this rocket is very exciting because it is the largest booster ever constructed. It's larger than the Saturn V, and it will be doing a lot of very interesting things. It'll be capable of taking astronauts to a near-Earth asteroid, to the moon, and even to Mars. So I think it'll be interesting to see how that gets developed. And I understand that the agreement to develop that rocket is bipartisan. So I'm hoping that it'll be able to not come into too many problems with Congress.
Comet discoverer David Levy is with us on the Buckmaster Show. David, you've been writing a column in Astronomy Magazine for a long time, haven't you?
Yes, I have for over two years, 30 columns. I've just written the last one. I got my termination notice, so the column that appears in the February issue will be my final one.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah, but I still do my weblog, which you can get at www.sharingthesky.org, and that should be exciting.
Astronomy Magazine, are they cutting back? Are they having the problems, or what? What's going on?
Well, it looks that way. It looks like all print publications are having problems right now, and the specialty magazines are definitely not immune to that. But for whatever reason, this will be my last column. I did want to add, however, Bill, that you never give up. I'm still doing my weblog, and I'm still looking for comets, and I still feel the way Thoreau feels. As he said, if a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it is because he hears a different drummer. Let him step to the music which he hears. however measured, or far away. And that was from Walden.
Oh, and thank you for giving us that, David. Sharing the Sky doing quite well?
Sort of, yeah. We're not doing too badly. We could use a little better funding. But we're doing all right, and as we prepare for another good fall of observing, my friend Tom Glinos, who has a 25-inch telescope at the Jarnac Observatory, is here right now doing some maintenance on his telescope. And meanwhile, my wife Wendy is in Europe visiting her with her sisters. They're on a sister's trip to Salzburg, Munich, and Venice.
David, good talking with you, and hopefully the next time we talk, you will have that 24th comet. Have a great afternoon.
I hope so. Thanks so much, Bill.
Thanks a lot. David Levy with us on the Buckmaster Show. Tom Collier is next, talking about email harvesting, what to be cautious about. Stay with us. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Prosecutors at the trial of a man accused of trying to blow up a plane near Detroit will be able to use the incriminating statements he made after his arrest. That ruling today from a judge in Detroit. Efforts to win the release of two Americans held in Iran are intensifying, with a delegation of Iraqi lawmakers now in the Iranian capital to join the talks. The lies that Casey Anthony told about her missing daughter are going to cost her. A judge in Orlando says Anthony must pay almost $100,000 to cover some of the law enforcement costs of investigating Kaylee's disappearance. Checking Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of trading, the Dow is up about 131 points, the Nasdaq ahead 27, and the S&P 15 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
The Arizona sun is intense regardless of the season. That's why you need Sierra Shutters and Sun Control, Southern Arizona's custom shutter specialists and proud supplier of O'Hare Shutters, locally manufactured blinds and state-of-the-art window tints. Our power bills are less after installing Sierra's 100% hardwood shutters and window tints in our home. Call Sierra Shutters and Sun Control 292-2212 or check out their extensive website, sierrasuncontrol.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it. But let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and Fifth. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
It's 12:34. This is the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and it is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. Joining us is the Buckmaster Show contributor on consumer affairs, Tom Collier, who also was kind enough to sit in for me a couple of weeks ago as I was up enjoying some of the cool weather at Lake Louise in Banff.
That was fun, but quality has been restored. He's back.
You know, today I want to talk a little bit about, you know, we've talked over the years, Tom, about scams, but this e-harvesting, email harvesting is kind of a concern, isn't it?
It is. And what prompted me to talk about it during our little segment today is I finally got fed up with the people who, and this is sort of serving notice to the people who send me the video of the adorable little kittens or the, you know, stirringly patriotic PowerPoint thing, and it's forwarded and forwarded and forwarded and forwarded.
Or the penguin who does a little dance.
Exactly.
Those they've animated.
I really feel kind of sorry for people who have nothing better to do than sit in front of their computers and read that kind of stuff. And my aversion to that goes all the way back to the early days of the internet when bandwidth was precious and you didn't have a lot of capability to forward that kind of junk. But what got me ticked off and started on this particular crusade is the last one that was forwarded to me, and I serve notice to people now, those die in my inbox. I never forward those things.
Right.
But it had a page and a half of email addresses from forward, 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 forward. That's a gold mine for people who are looking for email addresses to put into spam accounts. And if you can't understand why all of a sudden you're being besieged by best friends from Nigeria who have never contacted you before and letting you know that you've won all that money, or why you're getting all those offers to work on these wonderful new MLM products and schemes that have come out.
Or this other one that goes out that they send out, well, Tom Collier had to take a quick trip to London, England, and he's lost his wallet, and he needs $10,000, and we're soliciting money for him to get him home.
Those are among them. But what happens is when you forward those emails with all those email addresses visible, they can be captured by spammers. So I guess my request is don't forward them. Resist the urge. But if you must, if you have no other choice, the next time you sit down at your computer, and I hope you're not there now, I hope you're listening to the Buckmaster Show.
Well, they could be listening on the computer.
Well, you can do that. Yeah. You can do both. But anyway, when you look at the email program that you use, look at the top of the message and look for the two line, the CC line, which is carbon copy. That's somebody who gets a copy of what you're sending. And then below that, you may have to throw a switch to get it to show. It's the BCC line, blind carbon copy. What blind carbon copy means is that everyone who gets that, who's listed on the blind carbon copy line, only sees their own name. They don't see everybody else's name. So I guess my plea is if you absolutely have to forward that kind of stuff and you're going to forward it to the people on your contacts list, put everybody in the BCC and send a copy to yourself, and that's who the addressee would be. That way, what you've done is disguised those email addresses. You've hidden them so that the harvesters can't see them, and everyone who receives your forwarded message doesn't know the names and the email addresses of everyone else who's received that forwarded message. So that's the key to helping prevent scammers from being able to harvest email addresses. Once again, please resist the urge to forward those things. But if you succumb, make sure that your forwarded addresses are in the BCC line up in the header. instead of the two line, because all that does is encourage the scammers and give them more victims to try to take advantage of.
Tom Collier is with us. He is our consumer affairs contributor on the Buckmaster Show. And Tom, I've got to talk about this. I keep hearing this scam that really is prevalent right now in Tucson, and it's targeting older people. The scammers will call the older person and say that your nephew or your grandson or granddaughter has been in perhaps an accident in Mexico or Canada, and you need to wire. In this case, I know this happened, and it's quite a prominent person here in town. Their mother actually was hit with this scam, and the mother did wire $10,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Verify first. Verify. You know, if you're told something like that, call the individuals, call the members of your family and check. Call somebody, but verify first. Don't allow yourself to be panicked into doing something like that. It's easy to say, it's easy for you and me to sit here and say that, but when you get that kind of call and you're unprepared for it and you don't have the, I guess, walls of resistance or what I call lack of gullibility built up, it can hit like a sledgehammer blow. And what you need to do is take a deep breath, count to 10, sit back, and verify something like that.
Yeah, and I know of another case where this is another prominent person here in the Tucson area, and they were the scammers were targeting this particular older individual and about their grandson up in Canada having an accident, and they got down to the point where my friend was asking the scammer, well, what if you know this person so well, can you tell me what the name of his dog, what's the dog's name?
Those are some things that you can do. Yeah.
And the red flag finally went up. But I mean, this is really, really a prevalent scam going around right now.
It's a good thing you didn't have any trouble in Canada, because I wouldn't have sent any money.
No, Tom, you would have been right first on the list, and Rosemary Brandt, my producer, would have also been in the top five of of those looking for some money. Anyway, Arizona, I want to switch gears here. Arizona ranked number one among the 50 states in the raw numbers and percentage of unpaid student loans that are in default.
Student loans that are in default, right.
Wow.
Hey, we're number one in something. Unfortunately, it's something like this. Oh, yeah, we even outrank California, both not in terms of raw numbers of people who have student loans that are in default and percentage, 16% in Arizona, the borrower default rate. And that's higher than, say, like our next door neighbor, California. It's only 7.8% default rate. They blame that on the fact that in this report that was issued by the Department of Education, that Arizona is home to University of Phoenix, which is one of the major and largest for-profit colleges in the country. So all of the students who are in default to University of Phoenix would be allocated to Arizona, I guess. But the point I want to make in this is that borrowing to finance your college education, particularly with these types of student loans, the four types that are most prominent, should be a last resort. If you can work and pay for it, do that. For-profit colleges are growing. That's one of the reasons why the default rate is growing, too. It's a growth industry. But a for-profit college is not the same thing as something like the University of Arizona. For-profit colleges, they will tell, I don't care what they will say in the disaster ketchup they're trying to slather over this situation to smooth it over. A for-profit college's first concern is keeping the profits up, and if they're a publicly traded company, keeping the stock price up. Quality of your education, much less helping you find a job in this economy after you graduate, is absolutely secondary as far as for-profit colleges are concerned. So if you can get a job, pay for it. Now, that's the best way to try to pay for college. If you do borrow, you have to understand that that this is a private loan that the government guarantees. Certain types of these loans, the government pays the interest. The interest still accrues on those loans. 6.8%, that's not a bad rate. That's really not a bad rate compared to, say, if you were going to pay for a semester on your credit card at 17% or 14% or whatever. But the interest still accrues. The difference is, for some of these types of loans, the government pays the interest rate while you're in school. So you graduate, you get your degree, then you have a period of time, I think it's 180 days, and then you have to start paying it back. Well, what if you didn't get a job?
Right, that'd be big time.
And, well, you know, supposedly the 10% unemployment rate in round figures is something we're going to have to learn to live with. And I would suspect that if you have a soft degree in one of those soft fields, I'm talking about interdisciplinary studies or anthropology or psychology, it's going to be difficult to find a job in the field that you're looking for. An individual, a friend of mine, commented several years ago, you know, the checkers at the grocery store about 5 years ago all had their degrees in anthropology, and now they seem to switch to psychology.
What about creative writing? That's a question from Rosemary Brandt, our producer, who has her degree in creative writing, but at least she's working.
Hey, she's working.
She's
yeah.
working.
She's
I
working,
mean,
but not. Well, and in creative writing, too. She's writing for the Buckmaster Show.
Working for the Buckmaster Show, so that's not half bad. Tom, we're going to have to run, but thank you very much for being with us. And
thanks,
beware
Bill.
Of these. If you get a call from a scammer talking about send money, be very cautious.
Absolutely. Double check.
All right, Tom Collier, have a great afternoon. The Buckmaster Show coming up on 12:45. We're going to be talking about Israel and the major challenges facing that country. That's next on the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. 2 out of 3 people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
It's 12:49. This is the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. With its Cairo embassy ransacked, its ambassador to Turkey expelled, and the Palestinians seeking statehood recognition at the United Nations, perhaps as early as next week, Israel finds itself increasingly isolated and grappling with a radically transformed Middle East where it believes its options are limited and poor. So writes New York Times reporter Ethan Bronner, reporting from Jerusalem. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Guy Gilbert, the director of the Weintraub Israel Center at the Jewish Community Center. He is also senior community Shaliach, did I get that right?
Shaliach, okay. Yeah.
And what does that mean, basically?
Shaliach is the Hebrew word for emissary.
Okay.
It is also the Hebrew word for delivery boy, but that's not the meaning here. Yeah.
So, Guy, how do you, when you look at this so-called Arab Spring, how did Israel come out on this? It seems like it's created so many huge challenges.
It definitely did. You know, when the Arab Spring began, many of us had the hope that suddenly we'll see democracy in the Arab world. Unfortunately, as it seems now, it's taking a different direction, sometimes led by more extreme forces, more fundamentalistic forces, sponsored by Iran, by the Muslim Brotherhood, by other organizations that have more of an extreme and violent ideology, and what we see now is relatively an anti-Western, anti-Israel, anti-democratic movements taking place, and not the democracy that we all hoped for.
But I mean, this is just, it seems like it's every day there's really bad news for Israel coming out. Are you at all surprised at this or no?
Well, anyone that knows the region well is not too surprised. We are very concerned. The peace treaty with Egypt is very important, not only for Israel, I think for the entire world. And the last mob attack on the embassy in Egypt was a very concerning signal.
And now there's news today, guys. You know that the Israelis have pulled staffers from the embassy in Amman, Jordan, because I guess there's going to be a big demonstration over outside of the embassy.
Yes, there is a big demonstration planned. It was organized mainly through Facebook, and that's another interesting element of the Arab Spring and all the movements within the Arab world is the high-tech influence of it, the Facebook as a mean of communication. But it also allows, as I said, countries like Iran to have a lot of influence in their neighbors like Jordan and Egypt. Another big concern that we see is the shift in the Turkish stand.
Yeah, because Israel and Turkey had pretty good relations. Now that seems to have really soured.
Israel had great relationship with Turkey. I can tell you on a personal level that when I was a high-tech engineer in Israel, one of the main projects I did was for the Turkish army. We developed for them a system. We helped them to upgrade their systems. And it was, you know, we worked together. And I suspect that in many ways, the refusal of the European Union to accept Turkey as a member in the European Union kind of pushed Turkey to the other side. And now we see it take a more religion and more extreme direction and not as secular and Western as it used to be.
Guy Gilbert is with us. He's the director of the Weintraub Israel Center at the Jewish Federation of Southern Arizona. And Guy, the big news, I think, that's going to be happening concerning Israel and the United Nations is perhaps days away, this Palestinian effort to seek statehood. What's your take on that?
Well, it needs to be said that most Israelis and the Israeli government is actually very supporting for creating a state for the Palestinians. We do recognize their right to have a state and their right to self-define and self-determine themselves. The thing is that we believe that the right way to approach it is through bidirectional negotiations. Things need to be talked about, and you know, the sides need to sit down until white smoke come out. And they need to agree about borders, about finance, about all the relationship between the countries. This unilateral declaration of statehood in the United Nations seems to be a walk away from the peace course. It is conflicting with past agreements like the Oslo Accords and other agreements. And in the past, whenever one side took a very unilateral step, it always led to more violence and less towards peace.
If the UN does recognize Palestine and this statehood recognition, what are the consequences of this?
I think the interesting question is not whether the UN will recognize or not, but who would be the countries to support and to oppose. It is interesting to see that most of the United Nations are countries that are not democratic. So I think the interesting question is, what would democratic countries like the States, like Germany, like Britain, like France, what will be their vote and what will be their say on it?
Guy, tell me about the Heartbeat of Israel series. This is something I believe that you're involved with at the Israel Center at the Jewish Federation of Southern Arizona. What's that about?
The Heartbeat of Israel is a cultural series that is sponsored by the Jewish Federation of Southern Arizona and the Weintraub Israel Center. It brings to Tucson Israeli culture. Every month we have an event, usually at the Jewish Community Center, sometimes in other locations around town. We have one event coming up the 25th of September with a concert that combines country music and Israeli storytelling. And later on, we have a Sukkah Shake event for family fun on October 10th. Every month, we have an event we're bringing together with UA Present, a concert on the 25th of March, Noah and Mira Awad. It's an Israeli and a Palestinian singer singing together. And of course, on May 6th, we have the Israel Festival, which is a huge festival, open and free for all, celebrating Israel independence.
And the calendar of events is available on the website?
It's available on jewishtucson.org on the website. You can also look for Tucson Israel Center, and you can also friend me on Facebook, which is Tucson Shaliach Guy Gelbart, and then you'll get all the events also.
Better spell Shaliach.
Yeah.
S-H-A-L-I-A-C-H.
Exactly. Challenging, but you made it.
There you go. You're a native of Israel from Haifa, I believe.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Haifa. My parents were born and raised in Haifa as well. I grew up in the mountain of the Carmel. Most of my teenage years, I went on hikes instead of going to high school. Then I joined the IDF, the Israel Defense Forces, like most Israeli citizens.
That's a requirement?
That's a requirement, yeah.
Everyone of a certain, what age do they have?
At the age of 18, all Israeli citizens are...
Men and women.
Men and women are called to serve in the army for a period of 3 years for men, 2 years for women. Women that choose to go on a more combat track would serve the full 3 years like men. If you're an officer, you might end up serving several more years, one more year at least. The only ones that are excluded are, on one hand, ultra-Orthodox Jewish men and women, and Arab citizens that can volunteer but are excluded from the drift.
Is it hard watching what's going on in Israel from a distance for you, being an Israeli native?
To be honest, the hardest thing that for me in person was 3 weeks ago. In the central of Tel Aviv, there was a huge demonstration. 400,000 Israelis went out to the street in a cry for social justice. people from the right wing, from the left wing, all together. Now, take into account 400,000 people in Israel, 7% of the population. It's like 20 million Americans marching down the street. And being here and not being able to be part of it, to feel the atmosphere, to be there. And, you know, I was looking at the picture. It was in the middle of a square called the State Square in Tel Aviv. All the surrounding of the square are the most luxurious stores and most expensive stores in Israel. But yet, no one did any violence. No stone was thrown. No shop was blown down. No looting going on. Nothing. No. And that in compared to what we saw from London the same month, you know. I was proud.
That's great. Guy Gelbert, thank you very much for being on the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you for hosting me.
Guy Gelbert, director of the Weintraub Israel Center at the Jewish Federation of Southern Arizona. And for the website again, Guy, give us for all the activities that you mentioned earlier.
www.jewishtucson.org.
Because you've got a great lineup of guests and activities coming up. Thanks a lot again for being with us.
Thank you.
Guy Gelbert on the Buckmaster Show, coming up now on 59 minutes past the hour. And we want to tell you that the Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Go by and say hello to our good friend Mike Flowers. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow on the Friday Focus, our Friday Roundtable and Focus tomorrow, we have Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias will be with us. Plus, we have Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star and Mark Evans of TucsonCitizen.com. See you tomorrow.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the voice radio.